Welcome back to VPMO Podcast, where we are walking through the book by John C. Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You 2.0. We have again with us David Helps, Chief of Staff for the Project Management Office of the South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Thanks again, and as always.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are going to talk about that icing on the cake, the icing on the cake for leadership. So you're a good leader, but really what separates good leaders from great leaders, that sort of thing, is attitude. What I find that pops up in my head the most is, why is it when we talk about having a great attitude, people have an attitude about that?
Yes. Yes.
You know, so we're going to start with an exercise. All right. So here's an exercise. I'm going to do this exercise with you.
Okay.
And people can follow along with it too. So here's the exercise. First, think of somebody you admire and write down five things that you admire most about this person. Now, if you're in your car or hopefully if you're in your car, you're not watching a video, you're listening to the audio. But somebody you admire.
Okay.
And what are five things that you admire about that person? And just think of them to yourself. Just take a moment.
Okay. All right.
All right. So it's pretty quick, right? We generally know who we admire. We know why we admire them. So, David.
Yes.
Somebody you admire, mm-hmm. and let's, your five things really quick. What are they?
So this individual, the things that I admire about them and did, especially when I worked underneath them, they not judgmental.
Okay? Not what?
Not judgmental.
Not judgmental.
They were goal-focused. They were encouraging. They were also praising, but yet also at the same time, they put me in my place just as much as they praised when I did stuff. And they kept things calm or upbeat, even though we were dealing with very stressful stuff on a regular basis.
Interesting. Now, when we do this type of exercise mm-hmm. in our master class, we do mm-hmm. this with the whole room, uh-huh. and we give them sticky notes.
Yes.
And they put the sticky notes yep. on, and then we have the board, uh-huh. or we can do it on the table, or yep. we can do it at the front of the class, depending on the size of the class, and we have them put them in different categories. One yes. of those categories is attitude.
Yep.
Inevitably, over 80% of the sticky notes in the category
yeah.
of attitude.
Yes.
This is exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
Very seldom do you see things like they're admired for their skills.
Yeah.
That they're admired for their experience. They're always admired for something like how they treated people, mm-hmm. the way they kept a positive attitude, mm-hmm. or they
yes.
they praised people.
Yeah.
They weren't willing, or they weren't afraid to also correct
yeah.
people. This all in a positive attitude way, and you always put it up in that personality. You like their personality, you like their attitude.
Yeah.
Less about their skills, less about their vision for the future. You might
yeah.
see a few sticky notes there. Less about how organized they are, how well they communicate. You'll see some there.
Yeah.
But almost always goes into the attitude and caring about the team.
Yes.
Section. So that's why we're talking about this section of the book, is attitude, is that you can be a great leader.
Yeah.
But never underestimate that if over 75% of what you admire about the person that you admire uh-huh. is about their attitude, how do you think people see you
yeah.
as a leader? You need to have a good attitude.
Yeah.
And so...
if you don't mind, I'm going to call them out.
Okay, go ahead.
The person I was thinking of was a former boss of mine, one that I credit as one of my first mentors, using the term mentor correctly, in that they were one of the first ones that helped me see my potential, and that was David Foshi, who was the CIO at DDSN when okay. I actually was a senior business analyst. He was the one that encouraged me to push into project management.
Oh, okay.
He was the one that actually sent me to my first PM class. And honestly saw at that particular time in my life, saw more in me than I saw myself. And it was because of the attitude, his attitude and his capability of showing all the things that we just talked about, those terms, that was the thing that pushed me to be better. So,
and his name again?
David Foshee.
David Foshee.
Yes.
Well, David Foshee, if you're listening to us, thank you for putting David Helps on this path, because it's helped us. It's helped me personally, and it's also been great having your advice. I'm glad he set you on that path.
I am too. And I can't thank him enough.
Very good, very good. And if you're hiring, no. all right, so in order to get to this positive attitude, John Maxwell kind of advocates, you know, he always breaks things out in an outline.
Yeah.
In his books, you'll notice, he'll say, this is what you need to do, and then here's five ways to do it. Well, in this one, he says, you need to develop whatever it takes attitude. And here's seven ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So here's his seven ways of how you develop a positive attitude. The very first one, disown your helplessness. Disown your helplessness. Aggressively pursue solutions and never let your team hear you say, there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a solution. But you can't be the victim.
Yes.
You have to believe that you can succeed, and you will. So others will see you believe it, and they'll help you get there. And you will be able to lift up your team and be successful in what seemed to be an impossible scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. You got any examples of this one, disowning your helplessness?
A lot of people suffer with this today.
Mm-hmm.
Living in helplessness, living in the victim state. It's... there are plenty of stories, and there's plenty of things that I have seen in the news and on social media of stories of people taking themselves out of the horrific environment and issues they're dealing with today, and taking themselves out of that themselves.
Yes.
And growing as a person and bringing themselves out of the bad stuff into something very productive and inspiring. And we have to look at those stories, and we have to look at those people, and we have to understand that we, whoever they are that's dealing with helplessness or hurt, you too can get out of where you're at. If these other people can do it, you can do it. The thing that made it wasn't something special. It was they decided that they're done being in that position, and they got surrounded themselves with the right group to help them through their own actions get out of this helplessness. And that's what we've got to do, is we've got to, as leaders, we've got to have that attitude that we can get ourselves out of anything. And then we need to take that, and we need to work with our teams to help them get that same attitude of they can get out of anything.
And you hit on this, you have to believe it.
Yes.
And there's a story that he has. If you have this book, it's on page 123. And I think it's, mm-hmm. we've heard similar stories, but it's worth repeating.
Yep.
So there was a school that they decided to do a test. Mm-hmm. And so the school said, they pulled all the teachers out together. They said, look, we've evaluated all of you. We will be selecting the top three teachers. And we're going to take the top three teachers, and we're going to look at the IQs and test the scores for all of the students, and we're going to pick the top 90 students. And the top three teachers, we're going to split them up, and the top 90 students, we want to see, can they even go further?
Mm-hmm.
And so they did this for the whole year. These students knocked the ball out of the park. Mm-hmm. They exceeded all expectations. They pulled these 90 students. They told the students, hey, you are in the top 90 students that we have at this school. We really want this program to be successful, so we're putting you with the top three teachers. Mm-hmm. And you'll only have these top three teachers. These top three teachers, you're only going to have these top 90 students. And they just killed it. They just absolutely did wonderful. They got to the end of the thing, and they told the teachers, they said, you know, confession time. These weren't the top 90 students. Mm-hmm. These were just average in the middle students, and we randomly selected to be part of this experiment.
Yep.
And they went, wow, that must mean we're really great teachers. And they said, actually, you're the first three names we pulled out of a hat.
Yes.
But they believed that they were the best and achieved more than anybody expected, under the assumption that this was the best teachers, the best students. They did even better than the true best teachers and the true best students.
Yes.
Believe it.
Believe it.
And operate on that function. It's really an amazing story.
Yes. Believe you can be anything that you want to be, and believe you can solve anything that you want to solve, and you can.
All right. So we've heard this from many a gurus. And we're going to put our stamp on it. BPMO approved. All right. Next one I like is take the bull by the horns. Be more about action. All this is saying is be more about action. President Roosevelt is the center of this story with his quote. A lot of people think that President Roosevelt did a lot of good things. And they asked him at the end of his presidency, of all the good things you did, what did you? He said, I didn't do anything good except when I thought I was right and I made a decision, I did something about it.
Yes.
So taking action.
Take the action.
Is the other part. It's, it reminds me of G.I. Joe commercial. You remember this? There was this cartoon a long time ago. And at the end, they would teach some lesson, and they would say, now I know. And the response was,
knowing's half the battle.
You watch G.I. Joe, too. So, knowing the solution to the problem is only half the battle. Yes. You have to do something about
it.
Taking the bull by the horns. This one is one that, because you're a leader, I'm going to focus more of the discussion back to you.
Yeah.
And this is, he says, entering the no whining zone. I'm almost thinking of a famous news anchor. Is it Bill Riley? He says, you are entering the no spin zone.
Yes, yes.
This one is enter the no whining zone. And it's and his approach is, not Bill O'Reilly, but John Maxwell.
Yep.
Cultivate gratitude.
Yes.
And that's how you enter into the no whining zone. So express gratitude essentially about everything.
Yep.
Your feelings, the small ordinary things, and especially in the middle of adversity, have an attitude of being gracious.
Yes.
Or grateful, not gracious, grateful.
Yeah, grateful. Because even it goes back to what we've talked about several times in these podcasts. We learn the most about ourselves, and we learn the most about how we can be better through adversity, mm-hmm. through issues, through problems. And if we know that about ourselves, then we should be grateful for having gone through it, not mad that we went through it, not mm-hmm. upset. If we look at everything from the lens of this is an opportunity for me and my team to grow and get better, then whatever we're dealing with at that moment, when we come out the other end, mm-hmm. whatever hardship when we come out of that other end, we're gonna be better.
Yep.
We're gonna be fuller. We're gonna be where we need to be.
Now, I hear a lot of people say this mm-hmm. when they're looking back at the lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to throw out to you this idea and see if you agree.
Yeah.
It's good to be grateful about things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be grateful while they're happening.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's not bad to be grateful about the lessons you learned. But when you're in the midst of the fire, to be grateful that you're in the fire.
Yes.
Is more difficult, and I think it's better.
It is hard, and it's hard for most people to understand this concept, but it is the biggest concept that anyone can take into trying to improve themselves.
Yep.
That we, if we are grateful that we're going through the hardship, if we're grateful from the perspective of knowing that a lot of times we won't be put in hardship. And the person who's putting us in the hardship is actually trying to get us to stretch ourselves and expand and grow. And that's really the purpose of it.
Yep.
And that was, I struggled with that. I struggled with that in understanding at that time. The first thing we think of is, oh, this boss hates me. Oh, this boss can't stand me. This boss is trying to get me to leave.
Maybe not, right?
Maybe not. Stop and think. Stop and think. Because some of our, when we get down to it, the people who pushed us the hardest, a lot of times, what I have found, they were doing it to help us grow and get better, not just to beat us down all the time. You can tell the difference, right? You can tell the difference. If someone is just giving you stuff and you're not growing, and they keep just hitting you over the head with it, then that person's not doing it for the right reason.
Right.
If that person is putting you in a situation that is trying to get you to grow, and they step in and help you with different perspectives and different components of it, and then you see that you're growing, that's the difference. That's the difference there. Is when at the end they go, what did you learn from this? And you go, well, I learned that I can be more forceful. I learned that I can ask more questions and get more information before moving forward. When that's the difference between those types of leaders. The ones that are just continuously beating you down and look, they still can't do it. They're not doing it for the right reasons.
Poisonous, toxic. Yeah. Right? You don't want that. So this kind of goes into now, say you're in that leader role, and it says, what John says is put on a new pair of shoes. And he's just talking about seeing through the point of view of other people. And while there's a lot, to me, there's more opportunity for this today than there ever has been.
Yep.
Because we are forced, in a sense, to see things through different religions, different religious points of view, even non-religious points of view, through different ideological perspectives. We see things that might even be shocking to us, you know. One of the things shocking to me is this whole argument on gender. For me, it's a 0-1 perspective, but if I can't see through the lens of that, even I don't have to give up my beliefs.
No.
I need to be able to see through that other person so that I can get the best out of them.
Correct.
All right. Nurturing your passion.
Yes.
Nurturing your passion. So Pastor Ken Hemphill, his quote is, his quote is, vision does not ignite growth, passion does. Passion fuels vision, and vision is the focus of passion. Leaders who are passionate about their call create vision.
Yes.
So I've had this discussion with people very close to me, and again, I'm going to protect the innocent. But if the person I'm talking about is watching this podcast, they absolutely know who I'm talking about. Where it was, I don't have a vision for my life. I don't know what my goals are. And I finally had to say, forget me talking about what your vision for your life is. Just tell me what you're passionate about.
Yes.
What do you feel motivated by? And I knew this person, so I was able to have this discussion in more depth. But you know, their response, I'm not passionate about anything. Well, I knew that wasn't true.
Yeah.
So I'd say, oh, okay, so you don't care about your dog. Well, hold on now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, so then you are passionate about your dog. Well, of course, naturally, you know. Well, and again, I'm changing the story a little bit.
Yeah.
But, well, if you're passionate about your dog, then don't you have some kind of goal in your life to take care of that? It's creating a vision. Now, very, very simple example.
Yep.
But then apply it again to project management. And this is why I say take desire over talent. Yes. Every time out of the gate. You're going to lose sometimes, but every time out of the gate, desire over talent.
You are, but at the same time, you want the people who are passionate about what it is that you're trying to accomplish, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, sometimes you have to make that vision and that goal something that people can be passionate about, right? So you need to make sure that even for those that are struggling with the work tasks,
yeah,
you need to find some way to push that passion for the goal and the vision to then equate that down to that task for them to be like, you know what, if I actually get this done, even though I'm not really like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get into work and get this done. Yeah. If I get this accomplished, it will help get this accomplished. And this is what I'm passionate about. And trying to spread out that passion from internal to external to task is something that we as leaders have to work harder on, is to get that passion there.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to combine them next two, and this will be a wrap-up for our session.
Yeah.
So, it's exceed expectation to never be satisfied.
Yes.
So, he says in his book, figure out what people expect you to do, and set that as your minimum.
Yes.
Of what you're going to do. At a minimum, you're going to do what everybody expects you to do.
Yep.
But what sets you apart and improves your attitude is going above that.
Mm-hmm.
The never being satisfied is just kind of a funny thing. It's just developing a character of positive discontentment.
Yeah.
You know, always pushing yourself. Really, this applies to yourself, but also to your team.
Yeah.
We can always find a better way to do it. At some point, we just got to go. We can't just stay in there. But exceed expectations.
Yes.
Being careful in the project management world that this isn't scope creep or goal plating.
Correct.
You know,
yes,
but exceed expectations and never be satisfied with the status quo. Constantly push yourself to be better.
Yes. And this is something that we talk about in class all the time, is if you're going into the realm of project management or business analysis or really anything, but from our perspective of project management, understand that you're dedicating yourself to be a lifetime learner in project management and business analysis. Understand that you are dedicating yourself to always want to strive to be better at accomplishing the next task or the next project or the next goal, right?
Yep.
And the only way to do that is to continuously try to exceed everywhere that you can in things that you did okay or areas that you failed in the previous project. So you've got to try to always push yourself, and then you've got to always try to understand that there is always something out there that you can improve on within yourself and within your skill set. And that's really what these two are talking about. Knowing that you have more to go, meaning that you always want to try harder, but also knowing that there are opportunities to excel higher in the next project than where you were in the previous project.
Perfect. All right. Well, that wraps up this portion of the book. So we're going to summarize real quick. You can be a great leader. You can be a good leader. To be an even better leader, you have to have a positive attitude about it.
Yep.
So don't be the victim.
Nope.
Do take action.
Yes.
See through other people's point of view without sacrificing your own belief system.
Yep.
Be passionate and find other people who are passionate. And I like how you said it. Passionate about what you want to accomplish.
Yes.
If you're passionate about building robots, but we're just cleaning water, not going to help.
Yes.
So passionate about what you're working on as a project manager. Exceed those expectations and never be satisfied with where you are.
Nope.
All right. Always push yourself to be better.
Push.
And your team.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks a lot again, David.
Yes.
This wraps up our last podcast for January. So I tell you, time flies, doesn't it?
Time flies.
All right, y'all. Thanks. Have a great day, and we'll see you at the next episode.